In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Mediatrix of all grace, Saint Joseph, Saints Moses and Elijah, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We celebrate the Transfiguration today, this great feast of our Lord's manifestation of his glory, on August 6th. And August 6th is 40 days before September 14th, which is the exaltation of the cross. And this date was chosen by Pope Callistus back in the 1400s as August 6th to commemorate the famous victory of the Catholic armies over the Turks at Belgrade. As you know, it was one of those occasions when Islam was once again threatening Europe, and there was a miraculous defeat of the invading Muslims, the Turks at this time in Belgrade. And so the Pope commemorated that victory by establishing the Transfiguration as a feast 40 days before the exaltation of the cross, which was also a feast that was celebrated or inaugurated because of a victory of the Christian armies to recapture the true relic of the cross that had been captured by unbelievers as well earlier in the history of the church. But also the 40 days before the exaltation of the cross, because in Lent, at the beginning of Lent, the first Sunday of Lent, we always read on the Sunday the Transfiguration. And it was always believed that our Lord's transfiguration on Mount Tabor took place 40 days before Good Friday. So that is why we celebrate that gospel passage in Lent, 40 days before Good Friday. It's interesting that our Lord would manifest his glory well ahead of his suffering at Calvary to give his disciples courage, to let them not be scandalized when they would see him undergo the most terrible and horrendous tortures and sufferings, and that they may begin to think that what they were experiencing with him and all the miracles and his great teachings were for naught. But our Lord wanted to bolster their faith by this vision on Mount Tabor, to let his glory, his divinity, manifest itself to them, to give them something to hold on to. And we know that even with the Transfiguration, the disciples, especially Peter, faltered, but John remained faithful. He stood at the foot of the cross with Our Lady on that Mount Calvary, knowing that, he would be strengthened by standing with Our Lady. His faith would be bolstered by that vision and by that being with Our Lady on Mount Calvary. We also see many important signs being given to any good Jew who would have, Peter, James, and John, and any other good Jew who would later on read this passage from Matthew or have the story of the Transfiguration recounted. The two figures, Moses and Elijah, are very important in this apparition on Mount Tabor because it would give the Jews many insights into the fact that our Lord was the promised one, the Messiah. We know that two mounts figure very prominently in these two characters. Of course, Mount Sinai for Moses, where he received the law, the Ten Commandments, that first covenant that God established with the Jews on Mount Sinai. And then the prophet Elijah and the famous Mount Carmel, victory over evil that was manifested to the Israelites through fire coming down from heaven. And the first reading today especially brings this out. You know, Daniel, the prophet Daniel, is being given this vision of heaven, and he sees the Ancient One. He's, you know, his throne is of bright as bright. His clothing is white as snow. His hair is white as wool. His throne is of fire. And he sees all this fire, and this glory of the Lord is manifested in fire. We know that with the prophet Elijah, in a special way, he was known as the prophet of fire, that God manifested his power and his glory through the prophet by the vision of fire coming down from heaven and consuming the sacrifice to manifest that he was the true God of the Israelites on that famous victory over the pagan gods and the pagan prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And also he was taken up into heaven in a fiery chariot. So we see that this manifestation of God's glory in the prophet Elijah, who was seen as a prefigurement, one who was to come before the Messiah, also is important, because here is Elijah in person speaking with our Lord about his passion, that Mount Calvary that would be the fulfillment, you might say, of what Moses did on Mount Sinai, establishing a covenant that our Lord said he wouldn't write them on stone, but he would write them in our hearts, and that he would overcome the devil finally, the final victory, the crushing of the devil that was manifested already on Mount Carmel through the prophet Elijah. But that with fire, our Lord would, you know, inflame our hearts instead, not consume his enemies and those who were crucifying him by burning them to a crisp, but hopefully through the graces that he would win by seeing him crucified out of love for them, would inflame their hearts for love of God. And we know that you know, we are living the same life of following Christ, that we are going to undergo trials and tribulations, sufferings, whether it be physical ailments or persecutions or people rejecting us because we are followers of Christ. And with the way things are going, you know, in our world today, someone told me just the other day that now there's some kind of ruling that an atheist won, that if an atheist were to be attending a Catholic church or any church and he heard someone say something that he didn't like, or someone didn't like because the priest or preacher spoke against atheism or against homosexuality, sins against nature, that they could actually have him arrested for violating, it'd be considered hate speech. We see these laws being enacted in other places, in other countries, and it seems that the agenda is becoming worldwide. But so we may have to be persecuted for our faith, and we must take courage and find hope in the transfiguration on Mount Tabor, that our Lord is saying he's overcome all these enemies, all these trials and tribulations are nothing compared to the glory that our Lord will obtain for us. And we hear this in the readings. You know, Peter is the one who writes this in his letters, you know, to the measure that you share in Christ's sufferings, to that measure you will share in his glory. So if we don't want very much glory in heaven, then we probably don't want much suffering. If we want a lot of glory in heaven, then we must be willing to endure great suffering for love of Christ. And that should help us to endure and to have, you know, that kind of holy greed, you might say, that the saints had, that they wanted to have as much glory as they could for the love of God. And so they had a certain desire to suffer for him. Remember St. Teresa of Avila said, to suffer and to die. And then St. Therese of the Child Jesus came along and said, to suffer and not to die, because she wanted to endure as much as she could for love of Christ and to be able to offer as much as she could to repay that love for Christ on Calvary, to die for love of his love because he was so good to die for love of my love. But we must take hope today in the transfiguration that, you know, Christ has overcome. He has won the victory. And the key to ours being faithful to Christ is to be obedient to him. As the voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." You know, this is where we are to find our wisdom and our strength in our trials and difficulties, to listen to Christ. His word is true. He will never deceive us. He will reward us, and he will always be faithful to us. So if we are in the midst of trials and tribulations, we should never doubt that what our Lord said is true, that he will be with us, he will be there to strengthen us, and if we hold out to the end, if we do not deny him, he will remain faithful to us and reward us for all that we endure for love of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.